Welcome to the weekly podcast from Harvest Ridge Church in North Ridgeville, Ohio. Our heart's desire is that you would grow in your love and devotion to Jesus Christ, and that these messages will strengthen your daily walk. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at www.harvestridge.net.
Good morning, everybody. How are you guys enjoying the youth takeover so far? Yeah. Pretty good. Hey, so our youth students have worked so hard to put this on for you. Hopefully you're enjoying it. With that being said, it would be inappropriate if the youth pastor did not speak at the youth takeover, right? So that's how you guys get a full understanding of how our youth group works. And what we're actually going to do is we're going to pause right now, and we're all going to go out and play dodgeball out in the field. You know, we got a player intro. That's a joke. You don't have to go play dodgeball in your high heels. We love our youth group here at Harvest Ridge. In case you missed that, we do youth group every Sunday night at 6 p.m. You don't want to miss out on it because, honestly, it's such a great group of students. We meet 6th grade all the way to 12th grade. And then we also have Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. as well, in case you missed any of that. You can find more information on our youth group on our Harvest Ridge. There's a tab for our youth students. So. But let's go ahead and we're going to get into our sermon for today. So we are continuing our sermon series called The Patriarchs. And so last week you heard Pastor Kevin talk about Abraham. And this week we are going to be talking about his son Isaac. All right. So I like to call this The Patriarchs, Isaac the Pack Mule. Now, do you guys know what a pack mule is? Does anyone know what a pack mule is? All right. So a pack mule, I actually have a photo of one. And so basically, it's a breed between a donkey and a horse. It is a hybrid. And basically, they're known for their strength and their endurance. And so when you do trips that take a lot of extra baggage, you load up a pack mule with, you know, your extra camp supplies or your food or whatever it is, right? So when I was in Greece with my wife and her family, we went to a city in Santorini that had no cars available past a certain point. And so what they would do is all these people who are vacationing, they would have all their baggage, and there were like these massive cobblestones that had like 2-inch gaps all around. And my wife walked around in like these Spanish heels that she had bought when she was in Spain for a exchange program thing. And basically everybody was looking at her like she was crazy because she was having to step on each cobblestone with her heels. I was like, that's pretty athletic right there. But so people are looking at her like she was crazy and people are trying to drag their bags up. But what we also kept seeing were trains of pack mules that would go up the mountain into the city carrying everyone's luggage and their bags and that kind of stuff, and people would walk next to them. And so I like to say that I am the pack mule of my family, all right? I am the pack mule of my family. If we go on vacation, you will see my wife holding our 2-year-old daughter, Fallon, and Liam, our 6-month-old. You'll see her carry them, and they're like, wow, look at the trees, look how beautiful the sun is. And then you'll see me behind with like, you know, 3 bags on my back and like all the groceries for an entire week on my arms, and then like dragging, you know, I'm like dragging wagons behind me because two trips is for wimps, right? So it's one trip only in our household, and so you will just see me pack muling all of this baggage, right? So I like to say that I'm the pack mule. Does anyone else say that they are the pack mule of their family, right? All right. So we got a few people. Oh, I got a few husband and wives that are like, I'm the pack. No, I am. I like to say, you know, she's got the brains, I got the brawn, you know, in our relationship. But anyway, so with that being said, I'm the pack mule of our family. And I want to say that Isaac was the pack mule of his family, right? Isaac was the pack mule. Now, it was a little bit different. The context is a little bit different because, honestly, he wasn't the pack mule of a whole lot of stuff. Now, at one point, he did carry wood for an altar, and we'll talk about that later. But he was the pack mule of the blessing and of so many other things in his life. So I just want to say, my first thing that I want to say is that Isaac was a pack mule. Everybody get this? So pack mule is a consistent theme. If you don't know what a pack mule is by now, you just haven't been paying attention, right? All right, so Isaac was a pack mule. And what we're going to go ahead and do, before I get into our main verse, I just want to say this. Isaac's claim to fame was his father and his son. Isaac's claim to fame was his father and his son. Now, his father was Abraham, who was originally named Abram, got his name changed to Abraham. And what happened was he left the land of his fathers. He stepped out in faith. He had a child because of God's gift to a barren wife, and they were both in their old age, and they were blessed, and a covenant was formed to Abraham, and that there was a blessing to be on generations, and all these different things happened with Abraham. And we also look at Isaac's son, Jacob. Jacob was the father, he fathered 12 sons that became the 12 tribes of Israel. He also was known as someone who wrestled with God and overcame. We see all these different things about Jacob. He actually gets his name changed to Israel, where we get the name the Israelites, right? So you have this amazing, amazing grandfather and this amazing grandson. And then somewhere in the middle, you have Isaac. And Isaac, if depending on the translation of what you're reading, he's mentioned roughly 74 times in Genesis, right? 74 times. Abraham, on the other hand, is double the amount of mentions in verses. Double, right? And his son, Jacob, is triple the amount of times of mentions, right? So what we're seeing is that Isaac is the low man on this totem pole. When people talk about, he is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the likelihood is that mentally you think you could probably just cut out Isaac. He was the God of Abraham and Jacob. But he is in the patriarchy because he's in that order. He was a pack mule of the blessing from grandfather to grandson. That is what he did. And so we're going to be talking a little bit more about his life today. But before we do that, I have to say the big verse that sums up everything you need to know about Isaac is in Genesis 26:6. So can everybody go ahead and stand in honor of God's word today? So me and Destiny, we always have a joke, and she's in a wheelchair, and I always say, stand in honor of God's word. She always goes, I can't, right? And it's just a little joke that we always, okay. It's good to have humor in life, right? So anyways, Genesis 26:6. This is just a massive portion of scripture that really takes a long time to break down, right? Right there? No. Hey, what we're going to do is we're all going to read this together, and I'm just going to let you know that I'm going to pronounce this as Gerar, all right? Gerar, in case we don't know. By the way, I might be wrong in that, and in that zone, I'm going to lead all of you astray, all right? Because we're all going to say Gerar together. Sound good? So what we're going to do is we're going to read it, we're going to say Gerar. Ready? So Isaac settled in Gerar. Is anyone else winded? I personally am winded. That was a lot of scripture. We're actually going to read it one more time. All right, ready? So Isaac settled in Gerar. All right. So the major word of this that I want to point out is settled. Everybody say settled. Settled. All right. So the major word that we're going to point out is settled. Isaac is known for settling, right? That's not something that you would think is very memorable, because honestly, it isn't. It isn't very settled. Like, when you think of settled, you probably think, like, after a long day of work, I get to settle into my recliner, right? That's pretty nice. Or, like, to plant roots or to, like, dig in deep. That is to settle, right? And so in this, we see that Isaac settled in a place. Now, what's the context of this? We're about to read it, but first, let's go ahead and pray. So Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for allowing us to be here. Thank you for these awesome youth students who have helped prep this whole thing. Just honestly to give honor to you and to worship and to praise you. So Jesus, I pray that you would use me as your voice, that there would be hearts open and ears to hear what you have to say. And honestly, God, I just pray that you would bless us during this time and that you would speak to us. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. All right, when you guys take a seat, go ahead and everybody say, let's settle, all right? So take a seat and say, let's settle. All right, I need you guys to settle down, all right? So here's a little bit of context, right? So Isaac didn't just settle. He settled out of faith and obedience, and we're going to get into that more, but I want to read this. So Genesis 26, 2 through 5, all right? So this is the verse, these are the three verses that lead up to our main verse, all right? So it says this, and the Lord appeared to him and said, by the way, the Lord is talking to Isaac, right? So do not go down to Egypt, dwell in the land of which I shall tell you, all right? So pause, there was a famine that was happening in the land, and what was commonplace during this time period was to go where harvest was plenty and where there was water and there was nutrition, basically in the soil. And so what we're seeing is that there was a famine in the land, and what people would often do is they would migrate to Egypt. We see it multiple times in the Old Testament. People would migrate to Egypt in order to be in a place where there were food storages and there was water and there was fertile soil and fertile land. Everybody with me on this? So there's a famine, but God tells Isaac, do not go to Egypt. I need you to stay where you are, right? Because you're going to dwell in the land of which I shall tell you. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with you, and I will bless you. For you and your offspring, I will give all these lands. All right, we'll keep going. And I will establish an oath that I swore to Abraham your father. I will multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven, and I will give your offspring all these lands. And then last portion here, and in your offspring all the nations of earth shall be blessed because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. All right. So what we're seeing once again is that God is promising Isaac to bless him the same way that he blessed his father, right? He will continue on the blessing. He will continue on the covenant. He will continue to do this to his family if he stays and sojourns in this land and stays and plants and settles and sets roots in this land, right? So the verse after this, so Isaac stayed in Gerar, right? And so what we're seeing is Isaac is being obedient to God by not moving. He's being obedient to God by not doing anything. Sounds like a pretty nice way to go about a blessing, right? You know, like, I just need you to simply not do anything, and you're going to get paid. All right, sounds good. I might get a little bored, but that's cool. Now, at the same point, Isaac doesn't just not work. He does have to invest in the land. He has to invest in his property. He has to invest in the relationships of the kingdoms around him. But at the same point, he's staying, right? He's not having to do some massive trip like Abraham or like Jacob had to do, right? So our first thing that we're going to talk about is the fact that Isaac was a pack mule of the blessing. You've heard me say this multiple times. Isaac was a pack mule of the blessing. And so actually I have one of our youth students. She's going to help me by Kendall. Go ahead and bring out our blessing for this evening. Everybody, look at this blessing. Thank you. All right, Kendall's actually going to stay right here. I need two more youth students that are going to help me out. All right, Kenzie and Christian, I saw you guys first. All right. So who doesn't feel blessed by Doritos, right? Unless you don't like artificial cheese or, let's see, corn, vegetable oil, sunflower, whatever. All right, anyway, so this is a blessing, right? Now, this is not an unending well of blessing like God would have given, the people. But so this is going to represent our blessing. And Kendall, you're going to represent Jacob, all right? So you're going to stand over there for me, all right? Christian, you're going to represent Isaac, and Kenzie, you're going to represent Abraham. All right, so go ahead and stand over there, and you're going to go join your father over there. All right. So basically, what happens is in the beginning of Genesis, we see God make a covenant, which we talked about last week, like I said, to Abraham to bless his descendants and basically make them as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sands of the beaches. And he's going to bless their offspring. He's going to bless pretty much every aspect. And so, Kenzie, this is your blessing. You may actually partake of these if you would like to right here, right now. All right. So Kenzie's going to partake of this blessing. A.K.A. Abraham. Hey. Isaac, you don't get to partake of this blessing yet. This is Abraham's blessing, all right? Hey, you'll get your moment, all right? Okay. Anyways, so Abraham receives the blessing. He's the one whom the covenant is built with, right? So we see this, that all of Israel is going to come from the line of Abraham. Now, because of this, Abraham, and because he's faithful to the relationship that God has established with him, he gets to reap of camels and goats and cows and male and female servants, and he gets to reap in land and crops and all these different things, just like Kenzie gets to reap in Doritos, right? So he gets to sit in, what? You don't like Doritos? Well, too bad. It's part of the illustration, you know. All right. So anyways, he was the one who had the relationship with God. Now, Jacob over here, Jacob, aka Kendall, all right, he was the one that the fruition of the blessing came out of, basically, right? So I mentioned this earlier. The 12 sons, the 12 tribes of Israel came out of the blessing that was bestowed from Abraham to Jacob. It was blessed, Jacob, and honestly, the name that we have for the, you know, the Israelites, Israel, it all comes from the line of Jacob, right? So we see this happen. Once again, he's the one who wrestled with God and overcame. He gets his name changed. He gets all that kind of stuff. And somewhere in the middle, there's a man named Isaac. Now, when Abraham passes away, you're dead. Isaac now gets to partake of the blessing. You go ahead and eat some chips now. But he gets to participate of the blessing while he is simply passing on the blessing to his son, Jacob. All right, pass on the blessing.
There you go.
Thank you so much.
Good job, Christian. All right, AKA Isaac. So Isaac, yes, he lives a fulfilling life. He does get blessed. He does get to have numerous cattle and camels and all these different things. But really what we see he is a courier of the blessing from grandfather to grandson. Is everybody with me on this? All right. With that being said, Jacob, that blessing is now yours to go share with the other offspring if you would like, AKA the other youthins. And you guys can go take a seat. Let's give it up for our youth lead, or our youth. You can go eat more. Wow. What a kind Jacob to give to her old man grandfather. Father. Old man father, same thing. All right. So we see that Isaac is a pack mule of the blessing, right? Everybody's with me? He's a pack mule of the blessing. Now, Isaac was also a pack mule of a few other things. He was the pack mule of baggage, right? Now, this is baggage is different than what I would call the pack mule, or like the pack mule that we saw that has like tent supplies and all that kind of stuff. He was a pack mule of baggage that came from his father that he could choose whether or not to pass those things on to his son, right? So a few things that he did wrong. Isaac committed some of the same flaws and had some of the same flaws as his father. Now, Abraham is known for lying to kings and rulers about who his wife is in order to not be killed, right? Have you guys heard this before? He lies to rulers because his wife is so beautiful and he thinks he's going to die. Hey, keep those chips quieter up there, all right? Distracting me. I did give them to him. It's like, yeah, it's my fault. It'd be like popcorn, and they'd be throwing popcorn around, right? With that being said, there was some baggage that came with Abraham. He did flaws. He was a flawed individual. And what happened is Isaac actually had some of those same flaws. When he was worried about whether or not the Philistines would basically kill him because of how beautiful his bride was. He lied and said Rebekah was his sister instead of his wife. And then the king of the Philistines gets angry at him and basically says, like, well, what if one of these men would have thought that she was single and would have taken her as their bride? Then we would have all been in trouble with your God. So you just basically would have cursed us in that moment. Please leave. So he actually kicks Isaac out because of the disrespect, because of the lie. Another thing that we see out of baggage is that Isaac was a flawed father, right? You don't have to raise your hands, but anyone in this room know of a flawed father somewhere in their life, right? A flawed father, meaning maybe they're not always there. Maybe you don't even know said father. Maybe, there's so many parts. And like, I'm going to say that I'm a flawed father, right? I don't always discipline or treat my children the way that it should be handled, like 100% of the time. I just want to simply say as a side note, it is so great that we get to serve a God who is not a flawed father, right? He is a perfect father who loves us, who gives us equal portions of mercy and justice and grace, and at the same point, who sent his son to die for us. That's how much he loves us, right? So he is a perfect father. We might have flawed biological fathers, but he is so great, and we can learn to lean and trust in him, right? We can trust the character of the father that is our God. With that being said, Isaac was not that guy. Isaac was a flawed father, so much so that he actually favorited one of his sons over the other. Now, hold on for a second. We all know that as parents in this room, we like one child more than the other, but we just don't say it out loud, right? No, I mean, it depends on the time of day and whether or not one woke me up four times in the middle of the night or whatever, right? How many cuddles I get, you know, that might change a little bit. But no, he openly loved Esau, his oldest son, more than he loved Jacob. Now, Jacob was Rebekah's favorite. So Rebekah is Jacob's wife, and Rebekah loved Jacob and he loved Esau. And you know, who doesn't love a big hairy hunter man, right? That is Esau. But so he openly loved him more, and he actually created deceit and hatred and envy and jealousy within his own family structure because he openly loved one more than the other. That is a massive piece of baggage that you would bring. By the way, Abraham openly loved one son more than the other children. He openly loved Isaac more because literally when he goes to be sacrificed. When Isaac goes to be sacrificed, the reason why Isaac is sacrificed instead of Ishmael or any of the other children is because God literally says, the son whom you love, the son whom you loved, that's what it's going to take to establish this relationship with me. Now, obviously, Isaac doesn't get sacrificed, spoiler alert, but basically what happens is Abraham plays favorites, and so does Isaac. That's family baggage, all right? And what I want to ask you guys today is, are you a pack mule of family baggage? Are you a pack mule of family baggage? No, some of the baggage may be positive, right? You may have learned what it means to be successful. You may have learned what it means to be loving. But also, in any family, there's going to be flaws. There's going to be baggage. There's going to be deceit. There's going to be envy. There's going to be maybe addiction or jealousy or, I don't know, hatred or even like victimhood or like I deserve mentality. Those are all things that you can bring on as baggage, right? And what I want to say is, actually what I want to ask you is, how much baggage are you taking from those who came before you? And it may not just be your parents. It may be your uncles, your aunts, your friends, your family that you grew up with, your grandparents. How much baggage are you taking from them? And what are you giving to the next generation? Because we have to be very careful with what we give to the next generation. Don't you want your children to be more blessed than you?
Yes.
Right? Don't you want the next generation to be more blessed than you? Right? Do you want the next generation to have the same addictions and crises and depression and anxiety and worries and complaints? And do you want them to feel the same way as you? Because I sure as heck don't. Right? And at some point, we have to say, enough is enough. The buck is going to stop with me.
Amen.
Right? All it takes is one family member to change the direction of an entire generation.
That's right.
That's all it takes. And so what I want to know is, how much baggage and what kind of baggage are you passing on to the next generation? Because it matters, people. It matters. I want to be the type of dad that sets my children up for success. I want to be the type of youth pastor that sets our students up for success, right? I don't want them to have to come in and worry about whether or not I love one more than the other. I want them to know that I love as my Father loves. I want them to know that I love as my Heavenly Father loves, right? So what we have to be mindful of is, what are we taking as baggage and what are we passing on? Because there's a whole lot of positive things that we can pass on. But there's also a whole lot of negative things that we can pass on. And you get to choose what passes on to the next generation. And only you, really. So, all right. Did I make my point there?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So the next thing that I want to talk about is that Isaac was a pack mule of the ordinary. Isaac was a pack mule of the ordinary. All right? Now, some people, I don't know, like ordinary doesn't seem that bad until everybody else is living extraordinary, right? Sometimes it's easy to do the comparison thing where we look at other people's lives, we look at everybody else going to Bali, or maybe they're like in the ocean feeding pigs carrots or whatever that is, right? Maybe they are the ones who have the perfect house, the perfect pool, the perfect children or job, or they just got a bonus, they just got a raise, they just got all this kind of stuff, and you're flipping through your social medias and you're seeing this, and what you look down at yourself is you say, I'm sitting in my couch eating a bag of chips right now. My life is so ordinary and they're living the extraordinary, right? What I want you to know is that Isaac was the pack mule of the ordinary. His life was nothing exceptional or riveting. He was asked to carry wood to the altar up on the mountain. Congratulations, you did some manual labor, right? That's nothing that's like, oh, wow, what faith. He asked a question. Yeah, he said, Father, where's the ram at for the sacrifice? And he said, ah, Lord will provide. Cool, sounds good, right? He also didn't even find his own wife. Did you guys know that? He didn't find his own wife. Rebecca in Genesis, I want to say it's 26, basically there's a massive portion of scripture dedicated to the servant who goes and finds Isaac's wife. He goes out and picks Isaac's wife for him. There's a prophecy. There's a miracle that happens. There's God answering prayer. There's there's highs and lows in this story. And basically, the next time we see Isaac is when the servant is bringing Rebecca back on camels with servants and all this kind of stuff. And you know what Isaac is doing? Meditating in a field. He's sitting in a field. He gets up, looks, and says, wow, she's really beautiful. And then he makes her his wife and he loves her. That's the context of their love story, people, right? It is nothing like, all right, so I was at camp one time and the speaker was telling us this story about how years ago he was going on a missions trip. And so he and his buddy, they're like in their 20s or 30s. And he is on this airplane or about to get on this airplane to this foreign country, and that happened to be at the same time in which the Miss Universe pageant was happening in that country, right? So they're sitting on this airplane, and in walk a few absolute stunningly beautiful women who are going to compete in the Miss Universe pageant, and they're for some reason flying out of the same airport, right? One of them is Miss America, literally is sitting there. So they get onto the plane, and his buddy is sitting next to Miss America, and is talking to her the entire flight down to this country, right? So he's saying, I'm so envious. I'm sitting there like, why do you get to talk to Miss America? Like, I want that, right? So he's talking. They get off the plane. He's waiting for his friend, and then his friend walks out, and he's laughing with Miss America, walks over to him and says, hey, this is someone I want to introduce you to. This is my buddy, yada, yada. They end up talking, and they exchange whatever they exchanged years ago. I know things. Wow. They didn't have cell phones. AOL, I'm just joking. They exchanged addresses, the way they could write each other war-torn letters. No, they exchange information, and they end up, he says, basically, that's how I met my wife, right? So he ends up marrying Miss America because his buddy is the best wingman in the entire world, right? Like, that is an extraordinary story of how you meet your spouse. Isaac does not have that. A servant picks out his spouse from his father's family, and then he says, oh, she's beautiful, and then marries her. That's it. That's their love story, right? We have more detail on that. Now, not only that, we also see that Isaac was asked to reside in his homeland, right? That was our core scripture verse, right? Is that he settled. He wasn't asked to go out on some massive faith journey. He wasn't asked to go and set the bar high and to go and create new trails and new yada yada. And he wasn't asked to do that. He was asked to settle in the land that God had already provided for him. That is so ordinary. And what I just want to simply say is that it's not a bad thing to be ordinary. It's not a bad thing. I would say that Isaac was actively passive. He was actively passive. He was accepting. And yes, did he have questions, right? So the whole question of should I move my people to Egypt means that he was actively thinking, right? He wasn't just some bum, right? He was actively thinking, well, we're in a famine. We should probably move out. No, what we actually see is that God tells him to settle because he was probably willing or wanting to move. So he was obedient, sometimes more than he was outrageously faithful. He was more obedient than he was faithful. And actually, I would say that it takes faith to be obedient. Right? So 1 Samuel 15:22 says this, but Samuel replied, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the Lord. To obey is better than to sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. So you have to think, why they're sacrificing is they're sacrificing for atonement, right? Because they messed up, because they were not obedient, they have to sacrifice, and that makes them basically washed, that makes them pure. Think about this for a second. If I'm never not obedient, then I never have to sacrifice, right? And so what we're seeing in this moment is that, does the Lord delight in sacrifices? No, he delights in obedience. And we see that Isaac is obedient, and in that, his faith is shown, right? And so what I want to ask you today is, do you feel like you have to live some crazy, outrageous life, or are you simply content to say thank you for the blessings and for the ordinary life that God has already put you into? Are you willing to sit there and say yes and plant and work hard in the field that God has already given you instead of having to go out and trailblaze some new thing, right? Do you need to be the most successful person to ever walk this planet? Does your name have to ring throughout the ages? Or are you simply willing to say yes to the blessing that God has set in front of you? And are you willing to toil and till the fields that he has given you? Right? Sometimes it's not bad to live an ordinary life. It's not bad to be a pack mule of the ordinary. Here's my last thing. Isaac was also a pack mule of wood. I don't know how else to say this. I mentioned it a few times. But Isaac was a pack mule of wood. When he was young, Abraham, his father, was told to sacrifice him as an altar. And what we see is Genesis 22:6 says this. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife, so they went both of them together. Isaac literally was carrying his own death device. He was literally carrying the thing that which he would be sacrificed on. Does this make sense? Actually, it reminds me of someone else in Scripture. The fact that Jesus was also the pack mule of his own wood. Jesus was also the pack mule of his own sacrificial device. John 19:17 says this, and he went out bearing his own cross to the place called the place of skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. Isaac is a direct reflection in these moments of what Jesus will be, which is someone who carries their cross, carries their sacrifice, is obedient. Did Jesus have the power to say no to his own sacrifice? Absolutely. He actually prays in the Garden of Gethsemane, take this cup from me, but not my will, but yours be done, right? How amazing of a sacrifice is that? That I'm willing to say, I want something different, but I'm willing to do what you will first. Isaac probably did not want to be sacrificed, right? Jesus did not want to be sacrificed, but both of them were obedient to what God had in store, and through that, their obedience blessed generations to come. Jesus died and carried his cross so that we can have salvation and freedom in him. He died that way we can have a relationship. We see that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me, right? Jesus paves the way for us. We actually sang a song about that, right? Isaac is an integral part of Israel's story. He is needed. He is not just some ordinary bystander. He's not just sitting there on his keister waiting for the next thing to happen. No, no. He is told to stay. He is told to plant. He is told to be ordinary. He is told to pick up his own sacrifice, his own cross. And that's what he does. He does it out of obedience. And that's something that we should also strive to do. A few of us need to learn a lesson from this, right? Maybe God hasn't called you to be extraordinary, but instead to bless the next generations through the life of ordinary. Because in that moment, you are not just simply ordinary. You are, honestly, I would say that you are extraordinary. I want you guys to understand the fact that I feel like I already said it, but like, you don't need to have everybody know your name in order to make a direct impact in the world around you. You don't need to blow up on Instagram or TikTok or whatever in order to make an impact. Simply, sometimes what you have to do is you have to invest in the next generation. You have to say thank you for the blessings that God has given you. You have to pick up your cross daily and follow after Jesus.
That's good. Yeah.
So maybe the next time that you get unsatisfactory results in life, maybe the next time that you are unsatisfied with your life, you need to remember that you need to put your head down, you need to work hard, and actually, the funny thing is, who knows who is coming after you that you're paving way for? When I was, it was about a year and a half ago, I was at Heartland Conference, which is where we hold camp, and it's this massive property with like hundreds of acres, and I know there's a creek on it, and I was there for this pastor's retreat, and one of the speakers told us to go find time alone. We're going to spend an hour of solitude. Right? So this is an hour of, we can read our Bibles, but really it's supposed to be praying and listening to God, right? And so what I do is I set off on this path, just kind of walking aimlessly towards the back of their property, knowing that there's trails that could take me to the river, because I want to just go sit at the river. So I start walking, and as I walk further and further away from the area that we were hosting the retreat in, I'm seeing less and less people, till finally I'm not seeing a single person near me, right? I probably walked for like at least half a mile, if not a mile away in this wooded area, and there's no one around me. Well, as I'm walking on this path, the path is about as wide as my shoulders. I'm walking on this path, and I'm trying to find the river, and at one point, I have to use the little boy's room, and so I step off the beaten path, just a few steps, to use the restroom, and when I'm walking off, cobwebs and spiderwebs just cling all over my face and all over my body, right? You ever walk into a cobweb?
Yeah.
You ever walk into a spiderweb and you're just like, right? Because you don't know, is the spider on me, right? Like, for the next 5 minutes, you're going to feel like phantom tickles, and you're like, right? So I'm walking off the beaten path into the woods, and I'm getting hit by spiderweb after spiderweb. I was like, what is happening? Is it like breeding season for these things? Like, it was crazy, right? They were everywhere. So then I finish my business, and I walk back onto the path, and as I'm walking, I have this thought that I'm not on that much bigger of a space, yet I have not been hit by a single cobweb as I'm walking on this path. Like, what is going on? I'm doing this. Well, at another point, I hear the river. So I go off the beaten path again to go see the river. And as I'm doing it, guess what I'm hitting again? Spiderwebs. They're all over me. Once again, clinging to me. I'm like freaking out. I'm not even that big of like a, I don't really care that much about spiders, but like when you're hitting multiple spiderwebs, it gets annoying. It gets frustrating. And so I walk over to the river and I see it's like this steep embankment and I can't really access the river from there. So I was like, you know what? I'll go back to the path, follow it along and see if I can get in at another area. So as I'm walking back, right as I'm about to enter the trail, I hear something off to the left, the direction that I'm trying to go. And basically what had happened, around the corner comes this man. It was another pastor who had hit a dead end or something, because he told me. And then he was turned around and coming back the path that we had both been walking. And what I realized is that the reason why I was not hitting the spider webs on that path is because he had been in front of me the entire time, and he had just been taking the spider webs, and basically, like, he must have been freaking out as well, right? Like, but he was walking the path in front of me, and he was going through the nastiness. And when I went off on my own, that's when I ran into struggles. But when I stayed on the path that someone else had paved for me, I didn't have to struggle as much, right? Well, at another point, I end up finding the river. I go off, once again, cobwebs, and I sit there on a tree, and I have the realization in that moment as God's speaking to me that people have gone before me and they have paved a way for me. And at times, God will call me to go off the beaten path, to go off and go do something that changes the world, changes my life, changes yada yada. And through that, I'm gonna have struggles and I'm gonna have nastiness and I'm gonna have things that attach to me and that I'm gonna have to shed off of myself. But at the end of the day, I need to be thankful for the path that someone else has paved for me, right? And so what I wanna ask you guys to do is, I'm gonna ask you to stand up during this time. Some of us haven't realized how much of a blessing the people who have come before us have given us. Because honestly, it's not always easy to see the blessings when we're in the middle of junk, right? It's not always easy to see the fact that I don't have cobwebs right now because they're not hitting me in my face. But what I do want to say is it is important to daily be thankful for the ordinary things in life, for the blessings and the structure that God has given us that make our life so much easier to walk down, right? For the things that give us a step up in life. Maybe your parents didn't leave you with a massive wealth of inheritance, or maybe they didn't pay for your college or yada, yada. They still have given you things. If you are here alive today, it means that you've been blessed in some facet, right? And at the very least, even if you aren't saying that you're blessed by human standards, guess what? We serve a God who willingly died for us, who took the cross and buried, like he melted away our sin and our shame. If that's not a blessing, I don't know what is, right? We're clean because of him. We have a relationship with God because of him. So what I'm gonna ask you guys to do is I'm gonna give a few prompts. I just want you to process through in a time of quiet. We're just gonna play some soft music. And what I'm gonna ask you to do is I'm gonna ask you to close your eyes and listen to these prompts and process through them and think about how these things interact with your life. So the first thing that I want to say is maybe people in this room have a cycle in their life. They have a cycle of baggage. They have a cycle of things being handed on to them, and it needs to stop with you. Maybe that's someone, maybe there's someone in this room who does not want to pass on to the next generation the same things that they were handed, right? Also, I think there's some people in this room that simply need to say thank you for the blessings and the things that you have received, that you need to wake up daily and thank God for the soil that he has asked you to till, for the field that he has asked you to plant in. And then honestly, you need to say thank you as you're harvesting the things that he has given you. Lastly, I think that there's some people in this room who need to think about picking up their cross daily and walking with God. Maybe you've never done that before, or maybe you've strayed, or maybe you just simply forget to do it. But to pick up your cross means to suffer for him, because he is worthy of being, honestly, he's God. And he's worthy of our praise, and he's worthy of our suffering, because at the end of the day, we get to spend a relationship, an eternal relationship with him. So maybe there's some people in this room who need to pick up their cross daily. I can guarantee you that I'm one of those people. So what we're gonna do is we're gonna spend about 2 minutes here, and I want you to process through those prompts. Maybe it's one thing, maybe it's all three things, and I want you to process through them, and I want you to talk to God about those. We have the prayer team up here if you'd like to come pray with them. But what we're gonna do after that is I'm gonna come and I'm gonna give a prayer, and then we're gonna worship Jesus together as one last big hoorah. But I want you to spend some quiet time here talking to God about these different things.